Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This reading is a whole chain of epiphanies, of revelations, of things that you were possibly miss unless it was pointed out to you. The first one is, when Jesus is baptized, God reveals that this is his son. He reveals it to John the Baptist by the Holy Spirit coming and descending on Jesus and remaining with Jesus. John says, I wouldn't have recognized him. I wouldn't have known that this was the long-expected one unless it had been pointed out to me by the Holy Spirit. And then John points it out to his own disciples and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's actually the next day, Jesus is walking by. I don't know why he's back again, but he's walking by, and John points out to his disciples, look, the Lamb of God. Now, the first time that John pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God to his disciples, because they would have been there when Jesus was baptized, they didn't do anything about it. They just stayed with their teacher, John. But the second time when John reveals who Jesus is, this time two of them, John, the writer of the gospel, and Andrew, start to follow Jesus. And Jesus, noticing this, turns and asks them a question. What do you want? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? And instead of answering that question, they ask Jesus another question. Where are you staying? Jesus invites them, come and see. Come and see. And after spending the whole day with them, the first thing that Andrew does is he goes and seeks someone. He seeks out his brother. We have found the Messiah. Come, come and see. Come and see. And then Jesus, seeing Simon, gives him a new name, a new identity. From now on, you'll be Cephas, Peter, Rocky. Now, we're not talking about a big rock. We're talking about a little pebble. And if you think about Rocky, think about the movie years ago. Dun 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 dun. Rocky? You with me? Nod? No? Okay, good. Who sometimes gets it wrong? A lot of time gets it wrong. But he is enthusiastic, at least. God has given him a heart to just go for it. And he does. And this section of the gospel is quite uncharacteristic, because you've got one event followed by another event, followed by another event, followed by another event. And it all happens within a space of a couple of days. And then you've got this phrase, the Lamb of God. And people kind of disagree about what that means. We don't really know what we're referring to here. I mean, it could be the Passover lamb, but it also could be the Tamid, which is the sacrifice that happened every day at the temple, at the altar. It would happen first thing in the morning, the first sacrifice, and that would enable all of the other sacrifices to take place. And then there was one at the very end of the day, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Or could it refer to the sacrifice that's given as a fellowship offering? Because lambs weren't used as a sin offering usually. But if there was a break in the relationship, you would offer a lamb as a sacrifice. And gosh, isn't the relationship between God and human beings broken and in need of restoration? And it could mean that he lifts up the sin of the world to show that It could also mean he takes it away. But whatever it means, and all of these could be possibilities, what John is doing is he's pointing and saying, here is something unique. Here is something to pay attention. Here is something that is going to make a difference to the entire world. Notice. And his disciples, instead of just noticing and paying attention, they start to follow. And when they see, they go and share it with someone else, and they come and follow. And invite others to come and see, and they follow. There's an awful lot going on in a fairly short little passage. It's a whole chain of events. Questions answered with questions and invitations. Revelation leads to revelation, leads to a new identity for those who follow Jesus. And I think in this passage, John is inviting us, John the gospel writer, is inviting us to look and to recognize who Jesus really is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in this passage, Jesus is inviting us to consider, what are we looking for when we start to follow Jesus? What are we expecting? Who do we think Jesus is? And I think in this passage, Jesus is inviting us to stay with him, to abide with him, to make him the center of our lives. And in that, we will discover who Jesus really is. Jesus is giving us a new identity because of that. As a beloved child of God. And we are invited, as we live out that new life, to let it make a difference in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we live. And as that difference grows and multiplies and bubbles up within us, we can't help but to share. Come and see the difference this has made in my life. Look around you and see the difference that God makes in the world. Questions for you this morning. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? Where is God making a difference here and now? Not just a prayer that was answered 3 years ago, but here and now. Can you see the difference? Point it out. Share it with others so they can see too, because that gives us all hope. That strengthens all of our faiths. And if it is pointed out, will you act on it? What a difference it made those 2 days. The first day when John the Baptist points out, there is the Lamb of God, and his disciples and followers did nothing. Versus the second time when John pointed out, there is the Lamb of God, and they followed. And that led to a chain of events that brought each one of us together this morning. And a faith that is not shared is a faith that dies with us. But it's not about saying, you've got to believe this, that, or the other thing. It's about sharing the difference that God has made in our lives, of living that difference, of trusting it, of following, of abiding in Christ and the Holy Spirit that abides with Christ will abide with us. And what a difference that makes when we trust in God to work within our lives. Friends, I want to point out something to you, because God is doing something quite extraordinary here in Hitchin in about 6 hours' time. Seven hours' time. And I can point out to you that God's kingdom is being revealed to us within this very town, within walking distance. And it takes place this evening. Because at St. Mary's Church, at 6:30, Christians of all denominations, Catholic and Protestant, Evangelicals, Pentecostals, you name the stripe and the flavor of Christians, we're gathering together and we'll be taking communion under one roof, proclaiming to everyone that Jesus Christ is Lord, and in him we find our identity and our unity in the Spirit. I don't know about you, I'm getting goosebumps right now. 500 years of division, we are taking a step in this town today. A step towards healing and reconciliation. We're not there yet. We're not able to commune at the same altar, but we are communing under one roof, proclaiming our unity in Christ. This is the kingdom of God being built right here. Right now. This is a difference that God is making in our town. And now that it's been pointed out to you, now that it's been revealed to you, will you be the disciples who just watch? You are invited to come and see. You are invited to be part of it. And if you have a longing, as I do, to see the kingdom of God built here and now, then come. The invitation is for you to be a part of what God is doing here and now. Jesus is inviting you. Come and see. Be a part. So, how then do we live, my friends? We are longing for Christ to be light in this dark world. We are longing for God to change the world into what he dreams it to be. And we are invited to be part of that process.